Hello and welcome to Ancient and New, a Bible study podcast. I am your host, Lee Younger from Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And we're back with our journey through the Gospel of Mark today with looking at episodes in chapters 7, 8, and 9. Today we're going to see Jesus tell somebody no. We're going to see him have to heal somebody twice. And we're going to see him kind of rebuke his disciples. These are stories about being honest in your walk with the Lord and honest about your desperation and need. All right, here we go. Mark 7, 24 through 30. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. This woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. What if Jesus doesn't do what you ask him to do? What if he doesn't answer your prayers? What if it feels like you're pounding on the doors of heaven only to have him shout a big fat no in your face? I hate the way that feels. And honestly, waiting on him can be hard. It can seem as though he doesn't care, or else I'm not holy enough to deserve his attention or whatever. When Jesus says no to your earnest pleas and requests, what are you supposed to do? Do you just give up? Do you stop believing in him? I mean, you can't con Jesus. You can't bribe him. You can't hold anything hostage and try to get him to pay a ransom. He's God. He doesn't negotiate like that, right? Well, one time, a woman approached Jesus with a serious problem. She asked for his help, and she didn't get it. In fact, the response Jesus gave her seemed pretty harsh. She was a foreigner, not a child of Israel. And Jesus said that the children should eat first, and that it wouldn't be right to take the children's food and give it to the dogs under the table. Wow. Why would Jesus say something like that? I mean, sure, this woman was an outsider, but doesn't Jesus love outsiders? Didn't he love foreigners? After all, the first person he revealed his true identity to was a foreigner. He healed the servant of a Roman centurion, and he healed a foreign leper. Jesus loved outsiders. He helped outsiders. What in the world was happening? I mean, Jesus cares about everybody, right? But it didn't look like Jesus cared about this woman at all. What should she do? Should she get mad and yell? Should she just give up and go home? Sometimes you're not going to get what you want from Jesus. Sometimes he makes us wait. Sometimes it even feels as though he doesn't care. And when you feel like getting mad, or when you feel like giving up, why not push back instead? Why not dig in on your prayers? Why not go toe to toe with Jesus and insist on what you know is true? That Jesus loves you. That Jesus cares about you. This woman took Jesus' seeming insult and pushed it right back at him. She said, "Okay, you don't give the children's bread to dogs, fine, but even the puppies get to eat the crumbs from the table." In other words, it's like saying, "Hey, I know you. I know your love is big enough to have plenty of leftovers. I know that you care about little puppies. I know you care about me." And she was right. Jesus, he loved the pushback. he essentially said to her, "Wow, such a reply. Okay, you win. I'll give you what you want." In our prayer life with Jesus, I think we need to keep it real with him. Insist on his love for you. Even when it feels like he doesn't care, believe and know that he does, and insist that he does. Fight and claw for the things that you know are true. Mark 8, verses 22 through 25. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Sometimes Christians say things that can make you feel as if the salvation of the whole world is your personal responsibility. For instance, have you ever heard someone say, "You're the only Bible some people will ever read," and then realize you didn't exactly sign up for that job? I mean, I understand that folks who don't know the Lord are watching our lives to see if there's anything different about us. But the way some people talk, you'd think we have to be perfect and at peace and happy all the time because we're God's little biped billboards. I mean, I know we want to grow, and I definitely want more peace and more joy in my life. But some people take the Jesus-y marketing to an extreme by putting on a front that they are somehow more put together than they actually are. Is that what God wants? Would he rather us pretend that we have arrived spiritually and are these completed works of awesomeness when we're not? Just so that people look at us and want something that we're trying to pull off? One time Jesus met a blind man who wanted to be healed. He led this man away from the village and spat on his eyes. Yeah, I know, it's weird. He touched the guy and then asked, "Do you see anything?" The man opened his eyes, and to be honest, the result wasn't that great. He could see something, but it wasn't clear, and he didn't really know what he was looking at. In short, Jesus had done something in his life, but he wasn't finished. This healing was seriously incomplete. What's going on? Was Jesus losing his touch? Was his power fading? No. You see, everything Jesus did had a purpose. He could have instantly and completely healed this man's vision, but he didn't do it in this case, and I think he did it that way for a reason. This man essentially told Jesus, "I can see a little bit, but it's not great." In other words, you started something here, but you need to keep working on me. I'm not there yet. The really cool thing is that Jesus wasn't shocked by this. He didn't get mad or frustrated. He simply did the miracle again. And the guy was healed. In other words, Jesus kept working in this man's life. And Jesus has come into your life, and he started to change some things. But everything won't be solved overnight. The work Jesus is doing in your life is going to take some time. Sometimes Christians act as though everything is fine all the time because they think you're supposed to be that way. But what if Jesus wants to know how you're really doing, even if the truth is hard to hear? If Jesus were to ask you how you are doing today spiritually, what would your honest answer be? Is everything great? Are you totally fine? Have you arrived? Or do you need Jesus to get down here and get back to work? Here's the really cool thing. Jesus doesn't want you to put up a front, pretending to be awesome. He doesn't need you to save the world. He wants a relationship with you where you can be the real you. I think that's why this story is in this book. He wants to restore and save and help you where you are today. And he knows and is comfortable with the fact that it's going to take some time. So, how are you? How are things really going? Do you need him today? Why don't you push pause and take some time and talk to him about it? Mark 9:14-29. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer." What does it mean when you believe in Jesus, but you don't think you're very good at it? Do you know what I mean by that? Sometimes you can feel so sure about who he is and how much he loves you, and then sometimes you feel as if you don't know anything, and you're just nowhere. Sometimes you can get so excited about the Lord and his word that you feel an otherworldly joy and you think you could face anything. And then at other times, the smallest setback takes you all the way out. But isn't there just supposed to be a new level of life that you ought to operate at if you know Jesus? Shouldn't there be an automatic level of victory and strength that you can just count on if you love him? One time, Jesus' disciples came to him because there was a desperate situation they couldn't fix. They thought they'd be able to overcome the problem just because of who they were and who they knew, but it didn't work like that. It was a boy who was being terrorized by a dark spirit emotionally, mentally, and physically. The boy's dad came to Jesus and said, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said, "If? Anything is possible for one who believes." Then this dad said one of my favorite things in the whole Bible. "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Sometimes you will find yourself in the middle of problems and struggles that are surprisingly steep. They'll come out of nowhere, and you just won't be able to muscle your way through them, despite the fact that you are a child of God. Jesus healed that man's son. And after it was all over, the disciples wondered why they couldn't do it. Jesus said that this kind of spirit only comes out by prayer. But the funny thing is that we never see Jesus stopping to pray in that whole episode. He just solved the problem. Jesus didn't need to stop and pray. No, it was the dad who prayed. Do you remember? He begged God in the flesh, Jesus, to have pity on him and help. Jesus was the only one who could solve the man's problem. When Jesus said, this kind can only come out by prayer, he was saying they should have brought the boy to him in the first place. What if the very first place that we went with our problems, struggles, and crises of faith was straight to the feet of Jesus? Would it change the way that we see our own strength and ability? Probably. Would it remind us how much we need him? I think so. Maybe the most important element in increasing our faith is just remembering how much we desperately need the Lord. The disciples tried to fix it on their own, but there are problems that only Jesus can fix. And you don't have to be a supersized Christian. You don't have to be powerful and strong or amazing. The only thing you need is to know how much you need Jesus' pity.
I'm broken down when I am sick at heart, and when I'm pushed around, when I'd like to restart. Well, I need you, I need you, I need you, Jesus. I need you, I need you, I need you. So afraid, and when I want to run so fast and far away, well, I need you, I need you, I need you, Jesus. I need you, I need you, I need you. Tired and weak, and I can't seem to cope. When I need some peace, when I'm longing for some hope, well, I need you, I need you, I need you, Jesus. I need you, I need you, I need you. Come and help me now.